Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, here with your bonus episode, the Vanderpump Rules after show. And hey, there actually was an after show for the Vanderpump Rules reunion. They are really milking every single tiny little drop that they can get out of Vanderpump Rules before it's dead. And it seems like it might be dead soon. But you know, that's to be expected. Nothing can last forever, especially this kind of show. Like, it's not like a Housewives show, you know. Now, the after show wasn't that long, because I guess they, you know, the reunion is the reunion. So the reunion is almost like an after show, except you're not paired up with the people that are just going to agree with you most of the time, like they are in the after show. However, you know, that being said, they did cover some new things that we did not see at the reunion. So I am going to go over those. But I also just put together some of my key overall thoughts from part one of the reunion to kind of, you know, beef up the episode a little bit. Because there wasn't that much, but what there was juicy. So I will say that, or at least infuriating. I don't know how I went from juicy to infuriating, but I did. The other thing is that I did see a little clip for reunion part two that just kind of continued with the Lala, Katie sort of beef or conflict or whatever. So I have a little bit more information because of that clip. So I might make reference to that, but it's not like a big spoiler. It's just kind of like the fight going on and Lala giving a little bit more detail, but nothing groundbreaking. But I will do a quote unquote spoiler alert, you know, before I talk about it. But I think it's worth talking about because it just gives a little bit more context to, you know, the fight that they had on this reunion. Okay, so let's start with overall thoughts. If I was Sheena, I would not have felt better by Lala's reassurance. So Lala, you know, they were talking about that whole Sheena having postpartum OCD and feeling, you know, super anxious and having intrusive thoughts about like Lala and Brock and whatever. And, you know, just that whole thing. And then Lala, she does say like, I would never do that to her or whatever, something like that. And she's like, but you know, she's like, I love Brock. He's a great guy. You know, I just let Sheena do the heavy lifting. And then she makes like the sex kind of motion, whatever, oral sex motion. And then she was like, but you know, we're like a throuple. And I was like, ugh. Just as someone who has anxiety and who can be OCD and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, I totally understand intrusive thoughts and all that kind of stuff. And I've been through all that and still deal with it. So I was kind of like, I just know that if I was feeling that way in that moment, the way Lala responded would not have made me feel better. But that being said, it's not really anyone else's responsibility. You know, when you have something like that, you do kind of have to like manage yourself. But just the fact that she said thruple when that was what Rachel had said, and it was just a little weird, I guess, to me. And like, she didn't say, okay, what I would have liked her to say just to make Sheena feel better, because I don't think anything is going on with Lala and Brock, okay? But they both should have been like, oh my God, Sheena, we fucking love you so much. We would never do that. And Lala should have been like, I'm not even attracted to that guy. I think he's cute. He's just not for me. Like something like that. Just to make Sheena feel better. Because the girl is spiraling. You can see it on her face. the fact that she's like going in the comments and that she's actually like taking things to heart, you know, like just be a good friend and a good, and maybe they have, maybe they've said this outside of the show and filming. So I don't know. But just the way she started being like, we're like a throuple. And, you know, I am like another wife to, or was something that she said, except I don't do the heavy lifting. I was like, no, no, Lala. No, that's not helpful. Again, I don't think anything is going on with them. I just don't. I don't get that vibe at all. But who the hell knows with this group? There is nothing that I would say is impossible because we're talking about Vanderpump Rules. Also, is Lala the host of the reunion? Like, is Andy fired? I don't understand what is going on. Because Lala did not shut up this entire reunion. And, you know, they're there to talk. But I don't understand why she's the star of the reunion. Well, I do, because she's making herself the star. But she's making it like everything is about her. Like, she's talking about and, you know, initiating discussions about stuff that is, should be beef, like between other people, where she should be sitting back. You know what I mean? And she did this at the last reunion too. Okay. A lot of people were bothered by it. Like, okay, it is kind of funny with like Lala and James jumping in and being like, you know, shut the fuck up and stuff like that with Sandoval. Cause listen, we were all so pissed at the time and it was so fresh. We wanted like Sandoval's head on a stake at that time, right? But I did understand, although I didn't mind it as much because I, like, to me, it was just like, there's not, you know, there is things to talk about, but we do also want to see and make sure that Sandoval does not try to excuse his behavior or talk himself out of things and make excuses, which they did a good job of calling him on that. You know, that being said, I do think that they did sort of like take over a little too much. But again, I didn't mind it at the time because I was pissed. But now it's kind of like, okay, we've all had like too much time, it feels like, to digest this, to analyze it to death, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, things have sort of settled and the anger is not boiling, but it's simmering. Okay. And at this point, it's like, I want to hear more from other people because I feel like Lala's just hijacking everything and it's really obnoxious, right? Like next week we saw in the little preview at the end that Ariana's like, yep, because you're like the loudest, that means you're right. Exactly. Just, she does this on the after show. She does this on her podcast. She does this on everything. She just talks and talks. And she talks so like is with such like an abrasive tone, and she is loud often, and she gets heated pretty easily. It's like it ends up overriding a lot of the other people, right? And it's annoying. It's very annoying. I just wish, and no one else seems to be like shutting it down enough. Maybe that's because now she's got like Sandoval on her side. And he was often one who would like yell at her back and like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Anyways. Okay. Next point. I just had to get that off my chest. Sorry. Because Lala is just annoying the fuck out of me. Okay. So let's go to the whole like George Floyd comparison newspaper discussion. Cause I don't know why, but I do know why, but this really bothered me. So first of all, if we're going to really break it down, Tom basically kind of doubled down on what he said, because I'm sorry, say whatever you want to say. I get the ultimate point, which Lala had to make for him. So I don't even know if that is his ultimate point, but the ultimate point was that I can't believe my story is like sharing headlines, like right below something super serious. Okay. But still, you still shouldn't have made the comparison. Okay. And at the end of the day, he was still kind of trying to say it was as big as that. It's not as big as that. It's just not. Just because I can do a drop down menu on the CNN website and under the entertainment section, there might be Scandoval, and then under like the hard news, there might be something else. Under sports, there might be something else. Because, you know, despite what we might think, CNN, New York Times, all these, they do cover other things besides just the hard hitting news. There are genres and sections of news, right? So it's like, that doesn't, just because you got onto that website once, like they were on CNN once, like I saw the tab. They were one of the little like click links, but that, again, it doesn't mean anything. Okay. There's a lot of fluff stories that are on every, this is the other thing that drove me crazy. I'm cutting myself off here, is that they're acting like, oh, this shouldn't have been big enough to be in the New York Times or any other major publication. Why? It's an entertainment news story, a big one. If you go to any newspaper site or news site right now, you will be able to find information about Drake beefing with Kendrick Lamar. Okay. You will be able to find news about Taylor Swift's concert or Beyonce's new album. Or so, is that as important as, like, you know, Israel, Palestine, or the, you know, the Ukraine and things like that? No, of course not. No one's saying it is. But if I'm going to like the entertainment section, right? And on the main page, they put a variety of the different stories. Usually the hard-hitting news is like the biggest thing. And then as you scroll down, you'll see other stuff. Yeah. A reality show falls under entertainment news. Like, I don't understand why we're acting, why everyone is acting so dense, right? And like they have no, well, maybe Sandoval is, well, he is dense. But like, there's just like no nuance or context to the situation. They're like, me cheating should not be in the same newspaper that covered, you know, an important news story. Well, if you oversimplify it in that sense, I guess, but that just doesn't make any sense, right? If they didn't cover, if you know, the New York Times didn't have a real estate section, they would lose a lot of people who come to it for that. There's a reason they acquired Wordle. Like, news, hard-hitting news, that's just one part. Anyways, I just had to get that out because it was really obnoxious to me, right? So at the end of the day, him comparing his story to George Floyd or O.J. Simpson is still ridiculous because you just don't compare them, okay? Like, it would be like me, I'm not going to be comparing, you know, Seinfeld and Game of Thrones, both huge shows. They are just not the same genre or category. So there's just no point. And this is the same thing, right? Also, people can care about more than one thing. I hate this idea that, like, if you show compassion or if you care about like a fluff story, like reality TV or like some, like, oh, this, you know, baseball pitcher got injured, then that means you can't also care about a serious news story. Our brains are not that, well, some of our brains are very simple, but our brains are not incapable of caring about more than one thing. Okay. It's like those annoying people on the internet when someone is like, can you believe this poor dog was abused and tortured? And then you have, there's always that one person in the comments who's like, you know, there's children who are starving. Yeah, I know. Just because I gave a shit about this dog for a second doesn't mean I don't give a shit about all the other stuff. You can be concerned and read up on, you know, serious sociopolitical issues in the world without, you know, with also, sorry, being able to unwind for a bit and read some gossip on Vanderpump Rules. Like, it's not crazy. And it also isn't crazy for them to be in the same, on the same newspaper site that holds thousands of stories a day from every aspect and genre of life, right? Okay, end rant. Okay, Tom basically doubled down, though, on Ariana's mental health comments. So am I supposed to have sympathy for him? I'm sorry, but if it is brought up again, him with the, you know, attempting or thinking about it or whatever thoughts he may have had, I don't know whether that's true or not. And I'm just stopping there. Okay. Because at the end of the day, the reason he's bringing it up is for sympathy and redemption. And he is like, he's not showing that at all. Right. And then we're supposed to have sympathy and allow him down this redemption path. That's a tough sell when you are literally again saying to Ariana's face that times that she has talked about taking her own life or whatever have been idle threats and that she didn't really mean them and she was using it against you. Like, and Sheena, do we believe him now? Sheena fully was like, oh, well, Tom understood. Like, I really got through to him about how he weaponized Ariana's mental health and da-da-da. Oh, did you, Sheena? I hope she was listening and not thinking about her angles while she was sitting there. Okay? Like, it's just like, how many times is Sheena going to be proven wrong? I bet you, I wonder if I could sit down and count, like, from the beginning, how many times Sheena's been proven wrong since she's been on Vanderpump Rules. It would be a lot. Like, I'm betting in the hundreds. Okay. Listen, the cast is basically, the cast, and by the cast, I mean Lala and LVP and Schwartz, are for this reunion. Throughout the season, more people were doing it, but specifically for this reunion, they're basically spoon feeding Sandoval the words that they want him to say to help him, you know, avoid completely fucking himself over. Even Andy was trying to say, like, the article in the New York Times was bad, the one they did on Sandoval. No, the interviewee was bad. The interviewee is a piece of garbage. That's the problem. The problem is not the reporter in the New York Times. Do I enjoy like every single article that the New York Times puts out and agree with them all? No. I did read this article, by the way, because they were like, oh, did anyone read it? Like, you know, oh, people just clickbait. It's the headline. Well, okay, yes, the George Floyd thing was bolded, but guess what, Sandoval? If people read the entire thing from beginning to end, it wouldn't look any better for you. And this is coming from me who did read it. Like, give me a break. And lots of people did read it. Okay. Like, yes, some people just double down. But when you take the comments that he made out of context, like just as those bolded quotes as it was, when you, sorry, put them back in context, they're just as bad as when they're taken out of context. Like, there's putting them into the context and reading the full article. Trust me, it does not make Tom look better. Trust me. Which is why when Andy was like, I read it, I was like kind of hoping he might say something like that. But I don't know what train he's on either. But anyways, they're basically like, he's sitting there. He's screwing himself over. He's digging his hole with the George Floyd thing even deeper. And Lala literally jumps in to help him say what kind of looks best for him. Because if we all just left him to his own devices, or if they all left him to his own devices, it would just be a shit show. I mean, it already is, but it would be a shit show even more. Because who this man really is not a good person. And Lala and LVP and Jeremiah and whoever the hell else are all just working overtime to try to prove to us that he's even half decent. They're not succeeding. However, they're trying. And why does he get such handholding? Like, is he a baby? I don't understand why Lala is so hellbent on LVP. Well, I do understand because it's all about money. Right? Lala thinks this is what's best for her career, or she did at the time. Like, they filmed the reunion a while ago. I wonder if they really filmed it, like, I don't know, a week before the season finale. Like, I wonder if she would have acted different at the reunion. Anyways, I mean, she still probably would have, because she loves to, like, be like, I speak facts. So I don't care if y'all don't like them. Okay. Where was I? Sandoval's interview was bad. Okay. So one thing that really, really stuck out to me, this was probably for me the most important point, and this is the part that kind of drags over into next week. So I am going to just, Actually, I won't even mention directly what they say for next week because I really don't need to talk about this. So I'm just going to talk about it in general. Basically, Lala said she wants to keep doing the show the same way as they've been for the last 11 years. Okay. And what she thinks she's saying, or what I guess she was trying to communicate or thought she was communicating, was that she wants to be real, right? And she wants to have those real conversations. And that's why she was mad at Katie. Okay. What she's really saying, if you stop and think about it, though, is that she wants to keep the same formula, right? But what has the formula been for the last 10 years? It's been a misogynistic formula, right? It's the men do terrible things, and then the women turn on each other or other women because of the terrible things the men have done, while the men get to float by and give a couple shallow I'm sorry, promise that they're going to change, and then they get their redemption on the down low by being like kind of like cute and funny and not really being involved in the more heavy stuff that the females are going through. That has been the formula. Okay. And again, I am not blaming the women for this. Okay. I'm blaming just misogyny and society for this. Okay. Do I think like the women have gone along with this consciously for the last 10 years? No, I don't. I mean, maybe Sheena. But I think they thought they were supporting each other, but then they end up like getting turned on each other a lot of the time. And this wasn't always like, there were some times where we had like a couple little moments where the women were really united, but not that many, like the Britney thing, I guess. But even that ended up, you know, like Jax got kind of a slap on the wrist for that. And it was really Faith who suffered, you know, some serious potential consequences because of Stassi and Kristen. So listen, at the end of the day, that's the formula, right? That's the formula that Lala knows. And I think Lala genuinely thinks that that's a good formula because that's what's been successful. That's what's gotten her a paycheck. That's what's made this show so popular up until now, right? And she is willing to be complicit and to let it keep going, right? But the thing is that Scandoval changed everything, and that's what Lala is not getting. It changed the audience's perception of the characters on the show. It changed people's perception of, you know, what the show is, etc. Like, people changed their perception of Katie. Not everybody, but a lot of people changed their perceptions of Katie, of Sheena. That people definitely changed their perceptions of the Toms. The Toms were like, people felt very differently about them. And I don't think there was anyone turning it back. And I think people really wanted this to be like a redemption season for the women, where the women could, you know, come together and sort of like take down a common enemy. And that this would be like, that there would at least be some takedown of Sandoval. Like, I don't think any of us wanted the entire season to be about that. We wanted other new storylines, which we didn't really get. And again, that doesn't mean that the girls can't have like some small conflicts and things along the way, but we didn't want it to be like a full, let's all villainize and turn on Ariana and use her as the sacrificial lamb in order to redeem Tom Sandoval's image. And that's what Lala and Jeremiah and LVP and everybody else basically wanted, right? The only way, and they know, the only way to make Tom Sandoval look better, because he's such a piece of garbage, is to make Ariana look worse. That is the only way, because he can't just look better on his own, right? We saw that. He tried to do that this season. He sucks at it. He's terrible at it. He can't do it in the real world when he's doing a damn interview. He can't do it on the show because he sucks, right? And that's why him and Tom Schwartz have been so successful the last 10 years, because they've just gaslit the women and the women have acted a fool. And then everyone's just noticed that, because the women have a lot more presence, right? And people, like, you know, people have noticed some of the guy's behavior, but it hasn't been to, like, you know, people haven't noticed the Toms to the same degree, you know? That was why we saw Lala, like, harping about, you know, the dog thing, right? Because she was going to take Sandoval's side about the dog, okay? That was why we saw, you know, Lala and Sheena, you know, kind of, like, putting these little digs out there. Like, oh, yeah, do you guys notice? Ariana's kind of lazy. You know, Ariana could move out. She's just choosing not to. What's wrong with her? Ariana has, like, lots of funds and stuff, and Sandoval, like, has nothing and everyone hates him. So why wouldn't she move out? Like, they tried, right? Because, again, this whole season, it, like, as much as we've all been like, we don't want a Tom Sandoval redemption arc, we don't want a Tom Sandoval redemption arc, the worst part about it is not just the attempt at the redemption arc. The worst part about it is the attempt at the villainization of Ariana, because that and the redemption arc are one and the same. They both of them have to exist. And I think that is why Lala and LVP and others are so pissed off about Ariana still being the, like, quote unquote hero and the audience for the most part supporting her. Okay. Because really, if you think about it, you know, LVP is really behind all of this. She's an executive producer. She likes, you know, I love, like, on Watch What Crappens, they always say that LVP will call somebody, like, a broken bird, because that's what she likes. She does. She likes people that are, like, broken and below her and that she can help. Ariana is no longer that. Ariana is kind of successful in her own right. People don't even necessarily, like, associate her with LVP in the same way. She's risen to a different level. And Lala and Sheena are still, like, the quote-unquote broken birds, right? Lala is, you know, Lala's pregnant on her own, which that's her choice and she's strong in that. But, like, LVP probably still feels like, oh, you know, I can, like, are you sure you want to do this? Or how's it going? Can I help you with the baby? Like, she can still take that kind of role. And Lala's still just, like, one of her Vanderpump Rules cast employees, right? Who maybe doesn't have any other option or anywhere else to go besides the show. And then Sheena will always be, because Sheena is always just a mess, and she's such a suck up to LVP and always has been and always will be, because Sheena knows that she needs LVP to get by, basically. So that is something that's kind of driving me crazy, because it's like Lala keeps talking about how she wants the formula. She wants the old formula. So yeah, she wants to continue enabling the men, allowing them to get the best edit. And she doesn't care if it means another season where we villainize and take down one of the women. And just like Ariana said at the reunion, Katie has been the villain for like 10 years. Okay. Katie's been hated. She's never been a favorite. She's always been a quote unquote villain, to the point that people were like blaming her for getting cheated on, which is probably kind of what they were trying to do with Ariana, in my opinion, is be like, well, look what Tom had to deal with, you know? Right. So it's like this whole thing from Lala with like girl power and like, I'm a feminist and blah, blah, blah. She's learned nothing from Rand. Okay. She's still allowing men to call all the shots in terms of what actions she takes. Okay. The producers and the men on the show, of course they want Katie and Ariana in a fight, because that helps with villainizing Ariana, right? Oh, look how she abandoned her business partner, right? Like, they're basically using the same kind of plot lines that by mistake villainized Sandoval last season. They weren't doing it on purpose, but that, and to villainize Ariana. And that in turn helps with, you guessed it, the Sandoval redemption edit. Like, look, she's not that much better than him. So who gives a shit if she got cheated on? Let's all not feel as bad as her. And look how this has gone to her head. What an egomaniac, et cetera, right? Listen, Katie didn't want to play into that. Okay. So this is the thing that, and we're going to talk about it when I get into the after show, which I haven't even started yet. But basically, there was a three-way phone call and between Jeremiah, Lala, and Katie to talk about some of, I guess, you know, what's going on in your lives, what are the storylines going to be for the season. That's a normal thing they do before they start seasons. And there was a three-way phone call, basically, and It seems to me, and my interpretation was that Katie saw what they were trying to do, which is everything I just said, and she didn't want to do it. Partly because she's been villainized. She's been the victim of this. Okay, she probably also was like, can we do something different? I thought Scandoval changed things because Katie's been wanting people to see this for years. Katie's been wanting people to see what an asshole the Toms could be, right? And how, you know, a lot of the her bad moments were reacting to being treated poorly, right? She also has a business interest with Ariana. So why would she want to villainize her business partner who she's trying to make a business with? I mean, I'm sorry, that's just good business sense. Also, she hates Sandoval. Why would she do anything that's going to help redeem him? She cannot stand that guy. He has been trying to get her off the show and take her down for 10 years. I'm sorry, well, maybe not literally 10, but I would say pretty soon in. Like, I think he always hoped he could get Katie off the show and then him and Schwartz could have more fun. I really do. Also, why is LVP, I mean, she is so bothered by Rachel. Listen, so am I. Can't stand her, okay? But her and Tom are like a little tag team at this reunion. And we all know I'm not a fan of Rachel. I did an entire like 3-hour podcast episode about why I'm not a fan of Rachel. But where is LVP's smoke for Sandoval? Everything that she named during this reunion that were faults of Rachel, I could say about Tom. On top of that, everything that LVP named as a reason why we should have sympathy for Tom, I could say about Rachel as well. Like the mental health stuff, the suicide stuff. Yeah, that's what Rachel says that she was dealing with too. So how come you believe him and not her? She hasn't shown even an ounce of the same amount of venom for Sandoval. And that includes last year's reunion that she has for Rachel. Like, it's just, she's working overtime. Like, she is really working overtime on this. Okay. So, let's go to Katie versus Lala. So, that is the first topic of the after show. So, to me, this was like, you know, the most exciting part of the after show. Because we just got more information. Most of it from Lala, of course. We have to take it with a grain of salt. But either way, I'm ready to, you know, sit here and show anyone who will listen why Lala is wrong. And we love that. Okay. So Katie wasn't honest this season. And according to Lala, they connect because they are like no BS, her and Katie. Well, maybe you don't connect as much as you thought. So the phone call. So we get into a little bit more detail. So it was a phone call between her, Jeremiah, and Katie. We know where Jeremiah stands. Okay. Jeremiah wanted Ariana to do that final conversation with Sandoval. Like, I think Jeremiah is the leader of the boys club, or he's at least the big pawn in it. And he asked if they should do it separately or together. And then Lala gives her whole, like, of course I'll do, let's do the phone call with Katie. That's my bitch. Nah, nah, nah. Okay. This is where my antenna went up right away. I don't know what the purpose of the phone call was. At first, the way that Lala paints it at the reunion and here is kind of like, it was like a standard sort of like, let's talk about storylines or production type of call. Now, I think this is, again, just a complete guess. I do not have any facts behind this, but just my opinion. To me, it kind of sounded like Jeremiah and Lala were on the phone talking. Maybe about how can we do this? Because we know Lala is such a producer puppet and that she's a little producer suck up and she's just doing anything they say. Okay. Because that's what she thinks is going to get more money in her pocket. So I think the two of them were shit talking. This is what I think. I think they were shit talking. I think they were like, we need more people. We need more drama that's going to make Ariana look bad. Also, we don't have a lot of other stuff going on this season. Lala doesn't have anything interesting to offer besides water tasting. So they looped in Katie on a phone call. And they're like, so, you know, maybe you should, because this is what they do. This is what the producers usually do, right? They'll be like, so I heard you were talking shit about so-and-so. You should confront them. Like, they don't tell them what to say, but they have conversations about like topics and maybe feelings that people are having. And they will encourage them to, you know, confront the person or just talk about it or express it or whatever, right? That's how they make the show. Okay. Because a lot of stuff like on these shows is stuff that does happen to all of us in real life or that maybe we can relate to. But we in real life, you just wouldn't handle it the same because you're not on a show and you're not getting paid. Right. So I think that they plan this. Let's call Katie. Tell her we know you've been talking shit and we want you to bring it up on camera. We need stuff, whatever. I think it was something along those lines. They tried to approach it maybe, I bet, in like a, you know, oh, don't worry, Lala's going to have your back when if you say stuff on camera. We want you and Lala to have a conversation about how, like, Ariana's not around enough and you wish she was there more and she didn't give you a heads up about whatever. I think that's what happened. And I think Katie got pissed, okay, because Katie knows, number one, I don't want to do this. Okay. Cause it's like, I vented a little bit to Lala, but it's not like that big of a deal. And number two, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to give Sandoval the redemption. You're trying to make my business partner look bad. And on top of that, you're going to make my business look bad and you're going to sink my business. And I don't want that, obviously. Right. So Lala doesn't tell us what happened in between. That's the other interesting part at the reunion and here. She just tells us the beginning and the end. The beginning is that they were going to call her to talk about whatever. Okay. The end is that Katie blew up and it was very intense. Well, why did she blow up? What did you say? How come you remember so vividly what Katie said? Probably because like I said, they tried to manipulate her to go with the storyline. She didn't want to. Because again, that storyline is the same thing that they've been doing for the last 10 years. Let the girls fight. Make the girls look bad. Distract, deflect from the awful men. Okay? While they get some sort of redemption low-key. And the more people are mad at the women, the more distracted they are. I mean, I guess that's happening anyways. So I guess Lala did a good job. Because I feel like people are more into being mad at Sheena and Lala, but I mean, that's just society. So Katie said Lala was accusing her. So then they go to Katie and Ariana. Sorry, it's Katie and Ariana together. And Katie says that, you know, Lala was accusing her of not being honest about something to do with Ariana and Katie. And Katie doesn't give exact details. I think Katie remembers. I think she knows. I think she just doesn't want. Like, I think Katie has been on this show long enough and is smart enough at this point that she knows even talking about it in the after show, you know, can change the audience's perception, can maybe, you know, might give people more credence to like hop on the hate train, like on hating Ariana and making Sandoval look better and her business look bad. So then Lala says during the phone call, that she said to Katie, well, these are the things that you've said about Ariana. And I don't know why you're shying away from this conversation. Okay, so there it is, right? So I told Jeremiah the shit that you've talked when you were venting to me because you thought we were actually friends outside of this show, but I'm only friends with you for the show. And I don't know why you're shying away. So shying away from the conversation, so that means they wanted her to have the conversation on camera and she didn't want to. Katie says she's not fake. Because she, at that time when they started filming or when they were filming this and when they had this conversation, she was no longer genuinely upset about what had happened in the moment. And she's not going to get herself all worked up and upset again in a fake way because she doesn't do that. Listen, that is true. Katie has been such a hated person on this show and such a villain for all these years. I'm sorry, like, you're not going to convince me that Katie is not real on this show. because she's gone with what she wants to go with, whether the audience is going to hate her or not. And she's put up with it. And by the way, when she's had seasons where everyone's hated her, which has been seasons 1 to 9, she hasn't spiraled and acted like a complete lunatic on Amazon Live and on Instagram and on every other goddamn media platform that exists. So this is the thing that drives me crazy too, is that Lala came in later to Vanderpump Rules. And that's what I think kind of the difference is between like Lala and some of these other people, like Katie, Ariana. And I know Ariana was second season, but like basically with some of the OGs. Like Lala didn't join this show until season 4. And when she joined, it was not organic, right? Ariana joined season 2, yeah, but that was an organic joining of the show because of her and Tom getting together. And she was already friends with Sheena. She was in the group, genuinely worked at, you know, one of LVP's restaurants for a while, right? So, you know, Lala was a complete producer plant from the beginning. They hired her to be on this show. Okay, they pretended she was like, oh, you're going to be a hostess. I'm not saying she didn't really work as a hostess, because when this show started, they all did work at the restaurant in some capacity. But again, she was hired to be a hostess and to be on the show. Okay, she was a producer plant from the start. It was like season 4 is coming. We need to spice things up. We need to add some new people. So we're going to add this new quote unquote hostess. And she's like super hot. And she's got this like provocative Instagram. She's going to piss off all the girls. She's going to flirt with the guys, and it's going to bring drama, which is what they wanted. And it worked perfectly. So like Lala started this show as a producer plant, which is why she's always played ball with them. Okay. Unless it was maybe going to get in the way of her other paycheck, which was a much bigger one that was coming from Randall. Right. And then on top of that, the rest of the cast, like Katie, Ariana, Sheena, all of them, that was a much more organic group of friends, right? Like, I understand Sheena wasn't really included with like Stassi and them, but the show was kind of like built around her, so they had no choice with that. But the show started, none of them knew what it was going to be. They all were sharing their like authentic lives and friendships and relationships, and then it just blew up. Right. So I'm not saying, of course, it became more produced over time. Right. But at the beginning, it was raw and real. And when it started to get a little bit more produced is kind of right around when Lala joined. Let's be honest. Right. Like they tried to, you know, introduce other people, too. That were just like failures. But, you know, Lala was successful because like she is overall. I mean, she's not good at it right now, but overall, she usually is. So that is why it drives me extra crazy that Lala would even for a second try to come at Katie. Okay. Lala has had so much privilege on this show because of how she looks and being thin. I'm just going to say it. She has always had a certain amount of privilege with the cast. Okay. Because of her big mouth as well, and because she was brought on by production. You know, she did have to deal with being hated for a while by the cast and stuff like that. It did take her a while to like get in with the group and, you know, to penetrate the group and really become friends with the girls. Yes, so I'll give her that. But overall, she hasn't had to put up with a lot of the hate that Katie has had to put up with about her appearance, when she gained weight, being blamed, like when Schwartz was treating her like garbage, like being painted as the miserable one by her own husband. Like, I'm sorry, but she didn't have to deal with that. A lot of it's because she kept her relationship off the show. Just saying. Okay. Okay, so let's go back to the phone call. So Lala says that Katie said, if you fuck with my business, I'll fuck with yours. This is what I love too, is like, this wasn't even on camera. And Katie is like giving it to Lala, which I think is hilarious, because Lala's like, I stayed calm and I said, that's fine. Because first of all, she doesn't have a business. So this is her saying this to us now. So once the camera's on, she gets all tough. I really think that that's Lala. She's tough on camera, not off camera. She's like, first of all, something about her is nothing about her right now. Okay. You need to retire that line. Like, I know you practiced it in front of the mirror, and when you came up with it, you thought it was so brilliant. It's just, it's not doing what you think it's doing. So Lala says that she was so mad about this, and that at the end, she hung up the phone and said, and by she, I mean Katie, and said, fuck you, Lala, which I think is hilarious. See? Tequila Katie's still in there. She's still in there when you piss her off. And she can't, she doesn't have that much control over that, okay? So if that, if a moment like that on camera came up, Katie would let it fly like she always does. Lala said, I stayed on the phone with Jeremiah because I'm a grown ass woman. No, because you're Jeremiah's pet producer. He probably hired you or some shit and you suck up. That's it. Lala says they've had conversations about Ariana and Tom, how they surround themselves with bobbleheads and yes men. And now Katie has turned into one. Okay. Okay. I'm sure they could say the same thing about you. I'm sure Lala has people like, hello, her podcast co-host is the biggest yes woman of life. Again, this point, like, it does nothing. It doesn't like change my brain chemistry or anything. Lala says Katie did say that Ariana should move out and there's no reason for her to be there. Cool. Like, okay. What's the context? What did you say first, Lala? That's what I need to know. Did you say, like, can you believe she's still there? Why hasn't she moved out? And maybe Katie was like, yeah, it is weird. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. You know, she's making a lot of money. Why doesn't she just get a new place? Sure. That conversation could have happened. I think a lot of people had that conversation and said that. I saw that on Twitter, right? Like, especially in the first few months following, that was a huge opinion of a lot of people. And then I saw a lot of people's opinions change as time went on and people found out more and got more information. Like, I don't know if this is supposed to be like a smoking gun or something. I don't know. Lala also says that Katie was saying that Ariana isn't helping as much as she's always behind, and she's always behind on the rent for something about her. Yeah, that's annoying. I'm on Katie's side. I'd be annoyed too. I'd also understand that, you know, I'd be annoyed even if I understood that she's so busy with Chicago, Dancing with the Stars, whatever. But I'd still be annoyed because we went into this before and you're supposed to be dedicated. And I'd want to vent to someone. And in real life, we have all been in situations like this where we love our friend. We understand why something is happening, but it's still obnoxious. And we just want to vent. Okay. Now I get it. They're on a reality show, right? So Lala's like, well, can you vent on camera? But this is a little bit more complicated, right? Katie's like, I don't want to vent on camera because that's bad for my pocket. Which you'd think Lala would get that, but she doesn't. So yeah, producers wanted this as a storyline because it proves the girls to them, not to me, but it proves to them that the girls are no better than Tom and Tom, right? It helps, you know, even it out in their minds. Like, oh, look, they're just like Schwartz and Sandys. Oh, look, let's, you know, because there was people online with these conspiracy theories that something about her was all for like a merch grab, etc. Like it helps, it strengthens those people. It puts Tom and Tom more in a somewhat more understandable light in everyone's viewpoint. Because one of the reasons people are like Schwartz and Sandys got fucked over is because Sandoval was busy doing Raquel and doing his midlife crisis and ignoring Tom. So this gives more validity to why Schwartz and Sandys took so long, right? So again, it all goes back to the same thing. So Lala also says that she thinks Katie didn't want to rock the boat because she had so much money invested. Yes. And she, Lala, actually says in this interview seat that she would feel the same if she was in her position. So what are we talking about? Again, and then Lala's like, so you can have opinions and still have Ariana's back. Okay, so we agree. So I don't understand what we're even talking about. So Katie and Lala agree. That's what Katie was trying to say. Yeah, she was annoying me and I vented. That doesn't mean that, like, my opinions about her, you know, my opinions and being on her side throughout the season, that doesn't mean that's fake. Because I can be annoyed and vent about her and still have her back. And then it just drives me crazy. That's exactly what Lala says here. You can... Lala's just wants her to say the opinions. That's the big difference. Katie's just like, I don't want this to be a storyline. Because I'm over it. I'm over the, like, we're taking the girls down storyline. And I'm sorry, I get that. I really get it. because it's been going on for such a long time. And I think Katie does live in the comments. She's big on Reddit. She probably knows the audience is over it. Like, can we talk about, like, there's so many other bigger things to talk about than Katie being annoyed because Ariana is late to pay her rent sometimes on something about her because she's busy. It's just not even that great of a storyline. There are so many better things that can be talked about. If only the rest of the cast would do some goddamn work. That's all I'm going to say. You know, I saw on, I can't remember where it was, but I saw a comment that Bravo Well Black made. It was such a great comment about Lala. And they were like, hang on, I just found it on Instagram. Okay, it's a comment on at She's Speaking with Emily Hanks on because she had a post where she was asking what people thought about the Lala and Katie conflict. So I was looking through some of the comments. So they said, like, do you feel mad, you as in Lala, that Katie didn't voice her concerns on camera, or are you mad that once again your business is being in someone else's? Exactly. Lala's business is always being in someone else's. Now, when I opened up my phone to find that, something popped up. And okay, so according to at Bywig Hello Drama, well, not according to, but Bywig Hello Drama posted basically a little screen recording of Lala on an Amazon Live, which honestly, she's like going to give birth on Amazon Live. She's on that so much. But basically, Lala is addressing the first part of the reunion, even though she told us that she was not going to address it until the third part. And even then, it would be very quick. But here she is already breaking her word, as she always does. See, this is why I can't trust anything this woman says. Okay, so she says, so I just watched it. I paused this recording to watch it. So basically, she says that Katie did send her that message and was mean and called her a clown. And she took screenshots of it and she read them again this morning. She's like, of course I took screenshots of it. So she has them. Okay. Listen, I never doubted that Katie called her anything or sent her a mean text. That's pretty like on brand for Katie. But Lala, in this little video, she kind of denies like hopping on the Sandoval train and says like she was just trying to see all sides and she was not like, you know, her and Sandoval like barely talk, you know, she, you know, it's not like they're not friends and stuff like that. So, I mean, I didn't really think that they were. I just didn't understand why she's being so understanding of him and then picking apart every little flaw with Ariana. Right. I think the audience's issue was more that than anything else. So then it says, though, in the little like blurb at the top that basically she responds to Katie's Instagram statement regarding the reunion. I didn't know that Katie had an Instagram statement. I went to her Instagram story and I didn't see anything unless she deleted it. And then I looked on her feed. No, there's just like a picture of her and no, there's nothing there. Yeah, no, I don't see anything unless she did something and deleted it and I missed it or she posted it like last night and it's already gone. But anyways, but basically that Lala is responding to that and saying that no, the conversation they had was not in confidence. Okay. So I guess Katie, I'm going to assume that in Katie's Instagram statement, whatever that was that I somehow missed, which doesn't make sense to me because I'm on here like all day. So I guess that Katie said, well, we had that was like venting or conversation I did in confidence. So then Lala on the Amazon Live that I just watched was like, no, it wasn't in confidence. That was like a conversation with production. I don't think they're talking about the same conversation. Like, I think Katie's talking about the venting about Ariana. I think the conversation Lala's talking about is the fight with production because Lala wanted her to bring it up on camera and she didn't want to. But I don't think that's what Katie's saying. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to try to find this because like, I didn't see that. But before I get to that, Lala also says in this Amazon Live that all the VPR headlines this season have been about her and suggests that she carried the season and says, my back hurts. And there it is. And there it is. This woman wants to be, she wants to be the main character. She wants to be the star. She wants to be what Stassi was and now what Ariana is. That's it. That's what literally all of this boils down to. And she will do anything to do it. Like she has been in every headline and all that and all for negative reason, but like she's got this smile on her face saying it. Right? She doesn't care how she gets there. She just wants more notoriety, more money, more fame. And she knows. She knows she's not going to get it in the way that she wanted it, which is, you know, she thought she was going to get so much like from what happened with Rand and no one gave a shit. And yeah, she couldn't even get on the New York Times bestselling list with her book. And I'm sure that bothered her. Well, it did, obviously. So yeah, doesn't that just kind of say it all? Okay. Also, I'm back. Sorry, I paused to find Katie's statement and I found it. Okay. I think I just missed it because it was like posted last night after the reunion and it probably just like disappeared because they disappear. Or Katie was just like, I'm over having people respond to this story on my stories. Okay. I'm going to read it. I'm someone who has suffered from imposter syndrome for as long as I have known myself. Hence why I was apprehensive about opening the sandwich shop on my own. So when Ariana was going through not only a world of hurt, but also getting some amazing opportunities, that changed a lot of things during a pivotal time. I was extremely sensitive to what she was going through, but also very supportive. I was also dealing with immense insecurity about what I could take on and simply didn't want to put that on her. I had an emotional response that didn't feel appropriate bringing to her front door, so I went to where I felt safe, or where I thought was safe. Until I could find the appropriate conversation was to have with Ariana, which of course I did. And we have had plenty of conversations since, is what she says. So yeah, that makes sense. That also confirms what I assumed, which was that Katie is talking about her privately venting. And Lala's like, no, it was a public conversation because that was where I called Jeremiah. No, that was where you called Jeremiah to, again, convince Katie to put this on camera. But when she was just venting to you as a friend when you weren't filming, that was confidential because that was not part of the show. And I'm going to assume Jeremiah was not, well, maybe he was because maybe Lala lets him tap into all their phone calls. I wouldn't be that surprised if I'm going to be honest with you. Sorry. The video started playing again. That was with the apology statement, whatever it was that Katie put. Listen, Katie, if you're listening to this, which you're probably not, although she does follow me on Instagram. So let's just pretend for a second. You don't need to justify anything. You really don't. Okay, well, to most people, I guess maybe there's some people, but those people are just like haters gonna hate. Okay, so what else do we have left in this after show? Schwartz and Lala. So this was so dumb, but I just put it in because let's end on something fun. Okay, so they talk about how they were really flirty this season. Schwartz says he's innocently flirty. He has no expectations. He's just trying to like lift another human up. I like how Schwartz thinks that him flirting is going to make a woman like feel validated. Whatever. Okay. Schwartz says he flirts by listening and validating feelings. Well, that could also just be like being a good friend. Lala says she's flirty by nature when she feels very comfortable with someone and she thinks Schwartz is handsome, but they would never be a good match because she's just too intense for him. Schwartz agrees in his interview, says he didn't think, you know, she meant like she would break his dick literally, but he's like, yeah, she's a lot. He's like, she's an intense like tornado of emotions and they're just too different. He says, I do think she's smoking hot, but we have no chemistry. Like, I can't believe we're even talking about this. The only reason I put it is because it's like so random. I feel like the producers are asking these questions and they're just trying to keep viewers hooked. Ooh, one day Schwartz and Lala could have an affair and they'll piss Katie off, or, you know, maybe Brock and Lala. Like, they're just trying anything that they can. Although James is like, I could see it. Brock is like, no. And he's like, I feel like she would just treat Schwartz like a little brother. And James says he's sure that they've both at least thought about it once and never say never. I have to say, though, when James was saying all this, Brock looked like kind of, I don't know, weird, like uncomfortable. Probably just because he disagreed. But, you know, I think I'm like Sheena. Like, people put an idea in my head and then I start running with it. I'm like, is Lala sleeping with Brock? Okay, anyways. No, she's not. But it was just like that moment. Just because he had a weird look on his face. That's all I'm saying, okay? Scandoval has shaken us all, hasn't it? Brittany says Katie would die if Lala ever dated Schwartz. Well, she wouldn't die. Lala would die because Katie would, like, murder her. But like, here's the thing. Lala is literally all talk. Katie's not. Like, when Katie says she'll burn people to the ground, I kind of believe her. Lala says, I would never do it anyways. You know, and she's like, if I ever did wake up one day and was like, I have feeling for Schwartz. She's like, I would ask Katie first and make sure it's okay with her, which, I mean, that is what you should do. But what you should actually do before that is just get over it and not do it and date someone else. Okay, so I think that's a good place to end off. Considering that this wasn't much of an after show, I have been talking for a long time. The show just makes me rant. I can't help it. But apparently you guys like that, so I'm glad, because I like it too. Now, there was stuff from the after show I left out, by the way, but it was, I promise, it was all fluff. It was like, let's talk about Sandoval's band and like just other stupid stuff that I watched it all and I was like, if anything's interesting, I will write it down. And it wasn't. So I just gave you the good stuff. And isn't that what you're here for? The good stuff? We don't need all the fluff. You know, when you're watching a video and you just want the person to get to the point and give you the tea? Yeah, that was how I felt. Okay, so thank you so much, everyone. You are in the know for everything Vanderpump Rules. Until next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoAndBotox, and for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoAndBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.